Good morning to all of you. It is good to see everyone out here this morning. And if you are visiting with us, I appreciate you coming out. I really hope that today's message is encouraging to you as I thought of some things the past week. Brian asked me the other day, he said, "What are you preaching on, Kevin?" And I told him John 15, 1 through 11. He said, "Okay." In the morning, I send a scripture to the elders and deacons as a morning encouragement. And I brought forth a scripture out of Ecclesiastes and sent it. And I don't know, Brian, how much longer it was after that. I said, "Brian, I'm going to change my sermon. We're going to Ecclesiastes." He said, "Okay." So I appreciate the song that he sang right before the lesson, and I hope that you really understood those words. Because today I want to talk about in His time. In His time. Throughout the last couple months, years, whatever, I've worked really hard and dedicated to change my career path, to really study and to learn some things from a college level upward to the business environment to manufacturing. And I really strove very hard to get where I want to be career-wise. And I've had some dreams and I've had some opportunities. I've had acceptance letters and I've had declines. I've had moments where I've been extremely excited and couldn't wait to tell my family. I've also come home disappointed and wondering why. And as I've learned, and thank the Lord for teaching me, as I have been discouraged sometimes, He says, "Kevin, just wait. Just wait." The problem with that is, we're tired of waiting, if we're honest. We want it now. We live in a society called Amazon, where from your phone you could have ordered something and get it within a couple hours. We go to restaurants, drive-thrus, and we sit there and we order something, and we expect it in a certain amount of time. One of the reasons why is because we have had it very quickly before. We were just eating dinner the other night with the family. An hour goes by and our food is still not here. I look around, there's not a lot of people in the restaurant. What we ordered really didn't take that long to cook. And so I got tired of sitting in the seat. My back was hurting. And the waitress walks over and she recognizes that it's been a minute. And she says, "I think your food is up." To which I did not reply, because now I'm not happy. I'll just be honest with you. She brings out our food. She serves us very well. When she brings us our check, she says, "I know it's not much, but I didn't charge you for your drinks." To which I have four children, if you remember, who drank soda pop at $4 a piece. It was amazing, lady. I had to make sure that I made sure I showed it back in gratitude to her, and I did, but that's not the point. The point is that, again, our service, and that which when we ask for something, we think we should get it very quickly. I remember growing up, and some of you older folk know this, as a kid you would ask, "What time is it?" To which they would reply, "Time for you to get a watch." And I always thought that was funny when Dad said that, but he had a valid point, right? So if you want to know what time it is or how long things are going to be, then get something that will dictate that, that will measure that. From a human standpoint, we are asking for things all day long. Even if we're not bowing in prayer, we're asking God for things. And it's so easy to get aggravated when we don't see or experience a resolution. "God, I need assistance here. God, they need healing here. God, I need support here." In every area of our lives, we're waiting, but we're asking. And if we don't get what we want now or very quickly, we get impatient and we get upset. And what happens is no longer do we trust or have faith or hope that that thing will come too. We continue to allow our emotions to bring us down. We know that those things will come forth. You know, you're waiting on the Amazon package and come on, let's go. And you know it's on the truck. You know it's on the way. It just can't get here fast enough. And when it finally does arrive, what then therefore is our reaction? Are we about time? Ever said that to God? When you've prayed to God for weeks, months, years for something? Remember how many times we've read something out of a Bible that someone waited 20, 30, 40 plus years for something? Well, it's about time. They never said that. The outward expression is of gratitude and thankfulness. But during the time that we waited, sometimes it is daunting. It is tough. It is discouraging. But what I want us to know this morning and remind us is that there is a time for everything under heaven. And Ecclesiastes 3, and every verse that I have will be up on the screen out of the New American Standard Bible. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 11, I want you to really pay attention to verse 1, and then we'll get to verse 11. Verse 1, there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. So when we think of God, you don't care. You obviously forgot. Do I need to send you another text message or phone call? God says, just wait a second here. Wait a minute. There's an appointed time. In verse 2, a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. In verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? Now, before I get to verse 10 and 11, I want to ask you something. In that, have you waited for these moments that we just read? Now, you may not be specifically waiting for someone to pass away. We know that they will. And we know that we all will. But we're not just waiting in the sense of hoping for someone to pass. We know that this is a time to plant, and we know after a duration it's time to harvest. The majority of what we just read, we have all experienced to some degree. And we know that those times will happen. In that there is a time to work very hard and sweat and blood and tears, and there's a time to rejoice in the same way right after. But notice verse 10 and 11. I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so as that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. If we had an ability to see the future, would you enjoy that ability or regret that ability? And you might say, well, it depends on the area in which I could see the future. The old television show, Back to the Future, the movies. If they ever did anything in the future, interacting with themselves, altering the future, It would change the present. And if we thought we could go in the future and say, God, there's no way. Not going to happen. We would come back and say, I'm going to do everything I can to change that because that is not the way that I would have planned it. God knows better than we do. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we have no idea what the future holds. The other thing why we don't know what the future holds, it is what is verse 11 telling us that God is trying to do for us. Everything has an appropriate time. Everything. Okay? He has set eternity in their heart. See, our focus is on me. Our focus is on the here. And our focus is on the physical. So what God I need is now in this item or this thing. And so what God is saying futuristically here, Kevin, I know what you need. I know when you need it. And you don't need that. But what you need is something else. And that something else has benefits for you in heaven eternity later on. But Kevin is worried about today and the now. In his happiness today. Maybe in earthly pleasures and earthly fleshly things. And so what, God, I want enjoyment today. I want that big career that's going to pay me millions of dollars so I can live just fine. Right? God is saying, Kevin, I understand what you're asking for here, but what you need is something that is obviously imperishable. Something that lasts, that's not here, and it's for eternity. I understand that, I get that. But today, this is what I need, God. Well, God says, look, there's an appointed time for things. And that which you can't understand, that which you can't see. And every day that I think about that, and I think that God is bringing stuff in my life specifically at a specific time, has the purpose of bringing Kevin closer to Him spiritually for eternal benefits. Thank you. And I admit in my life so much that I've been mad. Not necessarily at God. But I may not have been happy because this thing that I've asked for hasn't happened yet. And I don't know if it will be. And I'm tired of waiting. I'm getting frustrated and emotional. And we just looked at the other day with the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They said, Jesus, come heal my brother. He's sick. He purposely waited 2 extra days after Lazarus had died so that the glory of God would be shown to them. God is purposely waiting in your life for certain things so that He can show you His glory to the point that you would rely upon Him, that you would trust Him, that you would focus your thoughts and attention towards Him. He's not a vending machine, okay? But God also knows and He cares and He loves you so much. But sometimes we say, well, God, I just don't feel that You do listen. I don't feel like You do care. But folks, when God brings about these things, okay, it's not going to be to the point where we go, all right, about time, thank You. Appreciate it. This is it, really. When God brings things to your life at a certain appointed time, it's going to be in such a way that you will truly see His love and His glory and His majesty. In such a way that your outpouring will be that you will fall at your knees and bow down and praise Him for thanksgiving. Because when God moves, He's going to be moving in such a way that you recognize it was from Him. And that He does care and love you. And that you bow down in sorrow and ask for forgiveness because you said, I was impatient. And I didn't trust You. And I did get mad at You. And I was worried about certain things. But God, I'm so sorry. But I thank You that this, whatever it is, was perfectly in Your time. Because You knew best for my life. So that brings us to 3 things that I want to move on here. Is to know, trust and be patient. Know that God is God, and He's all powerful. And trust that He does love you and He does care, and He will bring about these things. And be patient for whatever is going to happen. I don't know when, but I'll be patient for it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through 10 here. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now I want to jump right back to, for just a moment here, because I underlined this for a reason. In verse 6, I was underlining here, He has shown in our hearts. What did Ecclesiastes 3:11 say? In the middle of the verse, He has set eternity in their heart. So again, keep one in mind, God is trying to do in your heart. He has shown in our hearts, in verse 6, to give the light of the knowledge, okay, that which we know about God in our hearts, of the glory of God. So what is God's glory? He's going to show us in our hearts through Jesus Christ. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Now, when I read this next couple of verses, and I want to ask you, does this apply to you? In verse 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way. Yeah, I'm afflicted. But not crushed. Okay. We're perplexed, absolutely, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now again, he's talking to the Corinthian church. Those who have become Christians, who are spreading the gospel, living a Christian life, they are being persecuted from the people, from the community, those who don't believe in Christ, those who are under the old law. But how many of us in our lives say, yeah, absolutely, Kevin, I am crushed, perplexed, persecuted. I'm in despair. My life is in toils. And I keep finding myself time and time again trying to do what is right, trying to live for Jesus, but I don't see the outcome. Notice what Paul does here. He doesn't state that your state is in any one of those things, right? He doesn't say you're afflicted and leave it there. He doesn't say that you're perplexed and leave it there. He doesn't say you're persecuted, struck down in any such a way, right? What does he tell them, though? You're not crushed. You're not despairing. You're not forsaken. And you're not destroyed. And so I want to encourage us to not live our lives in such a way that we are those things. Because so many people say, well, Kevin, all these things are up against me. And life is up against me. But you're not destroyed. You're not crushed. You're not doomed. As long as you are living for Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus is in you, what then therefore do you have? In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Again, going back to the heart here. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We ask God all day long for some sort of help, some healing, some sort of assistance. And a lot of those, majority of those, if we're honest with ourselves, has something to do with some physical application. But everything that we go through and everything that we go for is producing something in us, within our hearts, but it's internally. But are we seeing that? And are we allowing that? If somebody says, God, give me courage, is God going to give you courage? Or is God going to give you the opportunities and the ability to become courageous? You see, God is trying to do something in you for His glory. In verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing. Notice this. What is it doing? As we say, where are you? When is your time? Why isn't here yet? What is His time, in His time, producing in us? Other than impatience. And that's on us. For momentary light affliction, verse 17, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the challenges that we have, and Kevin's guilty of this, is the things that I'm looking for and asking for are temporal things. The here, the now things. God, that's what I see. That's what I want. And that's what I'm craving. And that's what I'm asking for. And God's saying, Kevin, just wait a second here, because what I'm trying to produce in you is something that's not temporary. It's eternal. But just wait. Just give me a minute and I'll show you. And so as we live in life and we say, again, I'm perplexed and I'm crushed and I'm despaired and all these things, no, we're not. Because as He said, these things are momentary. They're light afflictions, whatever they are. And just wait a second, because what is God trying to produce in our lives? That which we cannot see. That which we cannot see, again, is spiritual. It's eternal. But we have faith and hope and trust, right? But the recollection in our mind is that knowing what God is trying to do, trusting God, is behind that. In Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Thank God that they're not. Thank God that they're not. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm so grateful and appreciative, and sometimes we ought to pray for this. We ought to pray for a lot. That God, thank you for not having my thoughts. Because I know my thoughts are selfish. And I know my thoughts are physical. And I know my thoughts are here and now about me. And God, your thoughts are greater than mine. You know what's best. You know beyond me what's best for Kevin. And what's best for Kevin, not today, but for all eternity. And that's what God is doing for us. To praise God and say, I'm so thankful that your thoughts are not my thoughts. Half the time, my thoughts are wicked. Half the time, my thoughts, again, are on me. And God, I thank you that your thoughts are not my thoughts. And Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Sometimes we think, all right, tomorrow it's going to be a glorious day and a beautiful day. Then life happens, right? Sometimes. His point in this, in boasting, is that don't think that we can declare what tomorrow is going to be. We hope it's going to be a good day. We hope that things are going to be better. But as we live life on this earth, we know that some things will happen. Our boasting is not in the day. Our boasting is in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5 through 6, getting to the trust aspect here, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, going back to the heart here. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. One of the biggest challenges we have when we think about everything is in His time is, God, I don't know if I can trust that. God, I believe you. And I know you're there, and I know you're powerful and amazing, but am I going to trust? Trust. It's one thing to know God. That's why we're here this morning, right? We're worshiping God. We believe God. We read our Bibles about all the things that God is, all the things He had done, and all the things that He will do. When it comes to trust, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived His life here on this earth. And we know the greatest story ever, that He gave His life for our sins and died on the cross. Jesus Christ rose again 3 days later, right? Walked the earth 40 days, appeared over 500 men. And then we read in Acts chapter 1 that he ascended to heaven. He left us. No, he didn't leave us. Do we trust that Jesus Christ says, I will come again? Where I went, to prepare something for you. Something amazing beyond all comprehension. But do we trust and just wait for just a moment that Jesus Christ is coming and will come and get me? That he says, where I am, there you may be also. And trust that. I don't know, Kevin, if I can get there. Why not? Because, Kevin, I need this today. And I need this today. And I need this today. And this. Oh, and that too. And all those things may be some physical here and now things. And Jesus says, look, I'm preparing something for you. What I need you to do is prepare for when I come back. And he has given us everything that we need to transform internally in our hearts to prepare ourselves when that glorious day comes. We don't know when that day will happen, right? All we know is it cannot get here fast enough. But we eagerly wait a Savior. And we trust him and we acknowledge him in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 7. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I know many of us have read verse 7 time and time and time again. God, I'm casting all my anxiety on you. Here you go. And I need some help. I need some help, right? Casting all my anxiety on me. And you said I could do that because you care for me. And I'm going to throw it on you. Here you go. Did you hear me? Want me to sin it all again? All my anxiety, I gave it all. But we're still waiting. Within that waiting period, God, I had a little bit more extra stuff. You want that too? Did we miss something here? Verse 6. He says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humility and thankfulness and gratitude, non-selfish. Under the mighty hand of God, the power of knowing who he is. That he may exalt you. Change your circumstances. Raise you up. Lift you up. When? At the proper time. At the proper time. As much as we say it's the here and now, Lord, he says, wait, Kevin. Just wait. Just wait. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says, do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowlessness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. See, as much as we think that, God, I need this now, and I need it now. Because in reality, Lord, if one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day in your expanse of eternity, Lord, I'm with you. It feels like 1,000 years. I've been waiting and hoping and waiting and hoping. But God says that he is not slow about his promise. What is he striving for here? It's not to feed you physically. It's not to pamper you on this earth. What God is striving to do in his time is for you spiritually for all eternity. And the number one we want to do is thank God for his time. Because I know it's going to take me just a little bit longer to get my act together. To figure things out. Because yes, God, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. But all my intention and focus isn't on me. It is on me. But what I'm worried about is earthly physical things. But God said, Kevin, you don't need the earthly physical things. What you need to do is get on your knees and bow and pray and repent. That's what you need to do. You need to come to my throne. You need to be baptized for the remissions of your sins. And you need to turn from your sins. That's what you need. And God's saying, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. And Kevin, I keep bringing you things. And I keep bringing you tools and resources and people and things in your life to help you recognize those things. And I say, well, God, well, if it's in your time, it's in my time. And he'll say, okay. That won't last very long for us, right? We undermine sometimes the patience of our Lord and how loving he is towards us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But when, right? In Matthew 24, verse 34 through 36, he says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. You know, it's amazing to think that all these things are in his time. And he's the only one that knows it. The only one. No one else knows it, but only him. As I talked with you last time, one of the biggest things in my heart was just exactly what we talked about when Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus. As the U.S. celebrating Mother's Day today, happy Mother's Day to our mothers. It's been 5 years since my mom passed away. And it's been almost a year now since my grandmother passed away, who is very much like a mother. It's hard for me to celebrate this day to someone that is no longer with me. And you have yourself someone just the same way. As our hearts are filled with love and our hearts are filled with hope, the number one thing that I try to encourage a lot of people as they have me, as we talk about the ones that we have lost in passings, we tell one another, just wait. Blink an eye and all this will be over. And one day, extremely soon, we will be in heaven together. Just wait. And I know as we wait and we wait and we wait, the days and the hours go so long. When I gave my grandmother's funeral, I brought up the fact that she was married to my grandfather for 34 years. She went on to live another 38 without him. And I couldn't imagine what that felt like for her. 38 long years without her beloved. That's a long time. But now, she's at peace from this life. And I know in a blink of an eye, we don't know that day, right? We long for that day to be back with those whom we lost and those whom we love, and we cannot wait to get back with them and just rejoice in heaven and love for all of eternity. But of all that we go through, and all the things that we are so impatient about and so much that we ask God to hurry up with, the number one thing that should always be within our hearts is that we get out of here. That we get to heaven. That this life cannot fulfill anything for me here. And that I feel so guilty asking for all these earthly, physical things, God, when I know that you have my spiritual interests at heart. And in your time, which is very quickly, we shall be with him and with one another, the saints in heaven for all eternity. I'll bring this lesson to a close and I appreciate your kind attention. Romans 5 and verse 1 through 10, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith and to this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can't imagine living underneath the old law and desiring a Messiah to come here, to long for what Jesus Christ would be as a king. And He came here in rags, and He didn't look like a king. But when He came here, He didn't bring us physical things. He brought us eternal salvation. Mankind said, I don't need that. I've already got it. But what I need from You are these things. But He knows us better. And in His time, at the perfect time, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for us. And although we wait as Savior, at the right time, Christ Jesus will come back for us. For those who trust and are patient. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, in verse 9, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And final verse tonight, or this morning, I appreciate it. Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Folks, this morning I want to ask you, what are we asking God for? What are we waiting for? What are we hoping for in the sense of, are those things physical things, temporary things, selfish things? And you're right. We don't want to endure pain. We don't want to endure the chaos from another person, the community, the world, politics. We don't want to endure any of those things. How many times are there things in our lives that we can't change? And we don't have control over them and those things. But we do us. And as we pray to God for things, our prayer ought to be, God, help me to know You. God, help me to trust You. Help me to be patient with You. And as I wait eagerly for a Savior, and as I do so, I serve You, God. I praise You. I give thankfulness to You. And within that, I obey You. Folks, the invitation is for you this morning. To hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. I want to encourage you to come forward and give your life to Jesus Christ. Hope on Him, believe on Him, call on Him, trust on Him, and patiently wait for Him. The invitation is for you this morning. Come now as we stand and sing.